T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
If you are emotionally attached to the Field of Dreams, this is about as cool as it gets.
Last year, but how do you rework nostalgia?
If you build it, he will come.
That's the kid.
Hey, Dad. You want to have a catch?
I'd like that.
I used to play catch with my father from 8, 9 years old, and it was a daily thing. He wanted me to be a pitcher like John Smoltz. You know, he passed away about 14 years ago, and here I am at the Field of Dreams.
It's so cool. It honestly, coming in from the airport brought me back to summer ball. I grew up in Pittsburgh, so we would drive to Ohio, to Indiana, to Illinois, to Michigan, and play summer ball tournaments. And so, pulling up through the cornfields into a place like this and being able to play baseball brings back a lot of those memories.
I almost think it's even better today.
Oh,
because
stop.
Here's why. So I've come back. When you come back to a special place for a second time, you get a chance to have that perspective of looking around and gauging the joy and the engagement of those around you as they experience it for the first time. It is an incredibly powerful place.
One, two, three,
and here we go, Tim. Here we go. Here we go, Tim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
The ratings were not enormous, but the game was a success. It was a win for the Cubs. Hologram Harry was weird. But most importantly, Matt Spiegel, his wife Christine, and his son Ruben got their damn money's worth.
You know, John Paul Morosi is right. The vibes were elite. And I wondered if some of the people like me had watched it on TV and talked to people and realized, oh man, I got to do this. And then went and did it and were so excited and looking forward to it, as opposed to last year kind of questioning and wondering what it was going to be like. So I don't know, man. It was remarkable. And as has been the topic of the week, whether Ruben likes baseball from your guys' perspective, which has been funny. Because I don't know.
That was very genuine.
Well, no, really, it is, because I don't, sometimes you wonder. He was easily the most engaged and involved and joyful that he's ever been at a baseball game. Throw a curveball to Rowan Wick in the 9th inning. To Patrick Wisdom, once I told him what some people call the home runs. Hit a smart bomb or a wisecrack. I've heard both those. He likes both those. And then Ian Happ is his favorite guy, so he's all over Ian Happ, screaming things, whole game. But the whole thing went down, got food, you know, and
well, good.
Played
I'm glad
around.
You fed him.
I did.
You allowed him to have dinner. That was nice.
Yeah, cheese curds. That's dinner, right?
Sure.
God, those are good.
Cheese curds are delicious.
Like breaded and deep fried, that version of cheese curds, whatever the hell that was in Iowa, well done.
What do you mean that version? Isn't that just a cheese curd?
Well, I think he's probably talking about like the bagged cheese curds, like cubes of cheese you get in Wisconsin, right?
Right. Well,
like the misformed pieces of cheese.
Yeah, like that's just the basic of
right.
the curd.
But when I hear cheese curds, I think of breaded and
you do think of the bread and the fried.
Also, can
do.
We revisit what Ruben calls home runs? Smart bombs and wisecracks?
Just for Patrick Wisdom. Because that's what they call Patrick Wisdom home runs. A smart bomb, if Wisdom hits one.
I think your boys got to workshop that one a little bit, I think.
Wisecracks?
Well, but also...
the thing is, specific chance for specific people. Okay. Knowing who was coming up, Shane. I mean, that's a win. But he knows who's coming up and knows who somebody actually is. Seiya! Come on, Seiya!
Do you think it's at all possible that Christine bribed Ruben? I'll give you $20. You act happy the whole night.
There was one person there who gave Ruben $20 last night. I think you know who it is.
Mitch?
100%.
Yeah.
Mitch Ruben, Rosen.
My office. Time for a meeting.
And he gave him $20 to go have some fun?
Yeah, I just slid him $20 on the side.
Can't tell you the last time Mitch gave me $20.
That's good bossing.
He's the boss.
That's good bossing.
Yeah, he's keeping a happy employee.
I respect that move from Mitch a great deal. He's greasing his palms.
Mitch is very good with kids.
He really is.
He's good.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I've seen the way he interacts with my guy, Ruben.
Yeah, he's very good with him. Ruben will be back on Sunday as the associate producer and call screener on Hit and Run.
That's good. That's very good.
He gets $10 a shift from Mitch.
Well, now we know why Ruben had such a good time.
He got the $20?
He got to see Uncle Mitch. He got $20.
Yeah.
I'll drive to Iowa.
Ball game notwithstanding.
I'm sure he had a great time at the ball game. But wait, so you're not only teaching him to love baseball, you're teaching him to act like you do at a baseball game where you yell, stay forever at athletes.
He's seen
your
it.
50s.
He's okay. Seen it, so, all right. You know.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like father, like son.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah, right, exactly. It can't be like
tomorrow, though, with that in mind.
We're here, man.
So are Owen and Eli going to be sitting there locked and loaded for Bears preseason action at noon tomorrow?
I don't know.
Eli on your chest?
Eli on the chest is, he doesn't really have much say in it. He's basically just a lump on a log still. You know, he's almost 4 months. Owen is a complete maniac. We're still potty training him. So, you know, we'll see what he wants to be doing. But yeah, I think so. He thinks I'm pretty cool.
Put the tarp on the couch, you know.
We're done with the tarp.
That's done.
Yeah,
okay.
We're done with the tarp. We just did the tarp for the first day because we didn't know if it was just going to be like a fire hose situation.
Yeah, the tarp did not sound healthy.
I don't
for
know why
anybody involved.
I don't think it's not healthy. I mean, I don't know.
Did it have a bale of hay on it?
Yeah. He had to neigh to get off. I don't know, man. It was just a weird thing. We were, I don't know how to parent or potty train. I don't know what I'm doing.
That was pretty Freudian.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not ashamed to admit it. We're learning where you go. You just Google a lot of things. That's parenting.
Yeah.
But you know me. I hate sports with no consequences. I do not like preseason football, spring training baseball, exhibition basketball. It doesn't do anything for me. I will say that this particular set of circumstances is about as interesting as preseason football can get for me, because it's unproven quarterback and new coach and new system, right? Like, it's so. Because of the set of circumstances that the Bears find themselves in, I am not going to be ranting and raving like I do every preseason about not playing veterans and not playing anybody. Like if I was coach, I wouldn't play anyone of consequence. I would deal with it in the regular season. Now, it's a new offense. The offenses look so terrible. You're a new coaching staff. You've got so many guys trying to earn starting jobs. I understand why Matt Eberflus is going to play starters. But the biggest thing for the preseason is always come out of it healthy. More so than a guy playing well or a guy playing poorly. Health matters so damn much in the NFL. Come out of it healthy. That's number one. But I would say, like, I don't think David Montgomery needs to take a snap in preseason. Why should he play?
Yeah, we'll see. You know, Bears starters are expected to play somewhere between 15 and 20 snaps, is what Eberflus had said. 15 to 20 plays, that's not every starter. Some guys are going 10 to 15. Some guys are going 15 to 20. Changes by the guy. You like that, right? I mean, there's, you know, you want to have some synergy when it matters.
It definitely, like, listen, if Fields is playing, you have to play the first string offensive lineman.
They have to all be together.
But that's basic. Like, if Fields is out there, he can't be being protected by scrubs. Now, you could argue that the starters are scrubs, but, you know, and if you genuinely think that there's, like, if it was even between Riley Reiff and Larry Borum, right? If it's genuinely even, that's fine. But you got to protect Justin Fields by whoever your best five offensive linemen.
Now, the theory of the best five offensive linemen all playing together as much as possible would be nice, too. Like, if they all play the whole time together, however long they play. But they've been trying different combinations a bunch of different times, so I wouldn't be surprised to see different combinations. in there, right? See the kid Doug Kramer at center with some people.
I wouldn't be either, but the whole time Justin Fields is out there, I don't anticipate much joy. I anticipate nerves. Because, again, like, man, do you think the offense is going to be tough to watch now? Imagine it without Fields. And I know people are like, oh, Parkins, you're so nervous, or you're so negative. Like, man, not when the regular season comes. Like, it's just, it is a sport of injury. It is a sport of attrition. It happens every year. Some team's season will be derailed in the next 3 weeks because of preseason injury. So I watch preseason games with a ton of nerves attached to them. I really do.
So let me ask you this. We can't. It's hard to set some specific overs and unders. Hell, if Fields is only going to play for 15 or 20 plays, what are we going to see pass attempts? Four? Something like that? Six? What do you expect to see, Justin, for Justin Fields' pass attempts?
If he plays 20 snaps, uh-huh. I'd put the over-under at pass attempts at like
5.5?
Yeah, 6.5.
Six, you want to go 6.5?
Yeah, 6.5.
Okay, let's go 6.5 on pass attempts. Runs, like scramble runs and or rollout runs. Let's combine them. So running for his life, but also planned runs. I don't know how many like planned or designed runs we're actually going to see. It wouldn't make sense for week one.
Zero.
You do zero of those.
I would do. To me, I would want to. I'm old fashioned. I would try to do things where my quarterback doesn't get hit.
I understand.
That would be how I would attack the preseason.
So wouldn't you have gotten better offensive linemen then?
I probably would have thought about
that. That's where you and Ryan Poles differ. I've always said that about the two of you guys.
Yeah.
You prefer your quarterback to stay untouched. He doesn't really care.
Yeah. And again, in the regular season, like Justin Fields needs to run. That's a part of his game. He knows how to do it. He doesn't need to practice running.
Well, he's doing that in training camp practices quite a bit.
And he didn't practice running last year. Remember? We heard about it from Darnell Mooney. He hasn't really practiced the design run.
But the scramble drill was which is a thing for the receivers too. But yes.
Yeah, I mean, but like that pocket is going to be broken. And he will have to then break it himself and move around. So he's going to scramble and run for his life.
So, Speaks, let's assume 20 total snaps for Justin Fields.
Yep, and he goes back to pass.
Of that 20, 5 will be designed play action rollouts. And of the 15 remaining, he's going to find himself outside of the pocket in 12 of the 15.
Whoa!
Is if he drops back 20
those
times.
Are right. But what you're saying is that you're saying a designed rollout is in the play is designed for him to roll
a
right.
A designed boot or something like that.
Not to run, but
correct.
Moving the pocket.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
If
we're assuming, and that number is probably extrapolated, but if we're not extrapolated, exaggerated, if we're assuming 20 passes, let's just say 20 passes for Justin Fields.
No, it's only 20 plays, though.
I know, but I'm moving that number to 20 to even it out a little bit. Assuming 20 passes, right?
Sure.
5 will be PA boots. Of the 15 remaining, he'll find himself outside of the pocket because of a collapse 12 of the 15 times.
You're saying in a game where
they
did pass it 20 times, that would be the numbers.
Yeah. Maybe 10 pass attempts is more fair.
Okay.
But if it were 20.
So you're saying roughly 60.
Do you not understand where I am here? Are we on the same page?
No. We're not.
I understand. All right, let's break this down.
Oh,
so
good.
20 plays. He's saying 5 are going to be designed rollouts, so that's a quarter. Sorry, 20 passes. He's saying he's moving
where's
the number,
the
right? So he's saying that 5 of those passes, theoretical passes, are going to be designed rollouts. So that's one quarter. That's one quarter are going
to
be rollouts.
I'm just trying to
speak. And then roughly 68% of the remaining are going to be him scrambling.
Right, but I'm just trying to like gauge actual expectations for tomorrow. Was the thought?
I think my original explanation made more sense than Studs trying to.
Yeah, we get off the rails at some point. Mm.
Speaks. Why don't you and I talk about the game tomorrow? So, I think that they are.
I thought I explained that.
You guys were
well.
Both great. You were both fantastic. It was amazing. I loved it all. I think that they are going to do very little designed running from Fields. I think that they obviously have been moving the pocket a lot by all accounts at practice. I agree. Like, this is, it's all about a timing offense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So moving the pocket, getting him on the run, that sort of thing, that plays to his strengths. But I hope that they're not trying to actually, like, if you do a design run with your quarterback, he's going to get tackled. And so that would be a terrible idea for tomorrow. But
yeah,
I would say 6.5 pass attempts
six and a half pass
for
attempts.
Justin Fields. Rushing attempts, I will put it at 2.5.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Two and a half rushing attempts.
Excellent.
Now, this is going to be a difficult thing to gauge because offensive dysfunction, like groan moments where you're like, oh, my God.
Do backups count?
Yes.
So
and this is what we're going to need.
Studs,
we're going to need you because you're going to watch the whole thing. I only need you to watch two things. You said you're going to watch the whole game, right?
We're all going to watch the whole game, for the record.
Okay, legitimately, how much about? I'm actually like in detail paying attention after the starters leave is you know hit or miss. But yeah, what do you want me to pay attention to?
Well, all, as Danny
if
says,
you give
we'll
me an assignment, I'll do it.
The offensive dysfunction moments, like either an awful pass, a sack that shouldn't be taken, obvious confusion. A fumble, a pick.
Penalties, dropped passes, turnovers.
Yes.
So if they run 35, you know, so what, there's 70 snaps on average in a game. So they run, you know, 40 offensive plays. How many of them have bad moments? Right?
Right.
That's what you're
exactly.
talking about. Between Justin Fields, Trevor Siemian, and Nathan Peterman.
Whoa! 20?
I'll take the under on 20. I think there'll be plenty of just drop back to pass incomplete.
Yeah, and then we'd have to it becomes subjective.
You know, incomplete doesn't count. 9.5.
Okay, 9.5.
I'll say 9.5.
9.5 grown moments
grown
of offensive
moments
dysfunction.
For the offense. That's right.
And then the last one, well, I guess there's a couple. Tevin Jenkins, how much is he going to play? Do we even know? We don't really know.
I'm going to put this number low.
Series. So this is total offensive series for Tevin Jenkins. So totally time like, up, oh, here's the first play of the series. There's Tevin Jenkins.
2.5.
You think that low?
Yeah, because I think that he's third string tackle at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they've got a lot of evaluations to do on Braxton Jones and Borum. I hope I'm wrong, by the way.
He said yes to
Riley Reiff
when asked about whether he was going to get a fair chance to win a job. But it's hard to imagine that he's really going to get a fair chance to win a job at this point.
Yeah, I think he'll play more in the second game than the first, I would assume, assuming the first isn't a disaster. But, I still think it's like in play that something happens with Tevin Jenkins where he doesn't get any, right?
Yeah.
The whole thing's just been so weird.
I agree.
That given that they won't answer the question directly, is he going to play? Like, I feel like zero is on the board.
Zero is on the board. I totally agree.
So I got to set it really low there for series for Tevin Jenkins.
All right, and then the last one, in honor of our guy Cairo Santos, Soldier Field turf monster appearances.
Oh,
a slip,
God.
A chunk of turf coming up. A player angrily looking at a spot on the field or pointing it out to a teammate, a coach, or a ref. So just angry, like obvious turf monster moments for Soldier Field. I think this is the time.
This is the one that I won't be tracking.
Yeah, this is Studs.
oh, you're giving this to Studs.
Love you, Adam.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to text Mark Grody and say, hey, tell me how many times they
mess up. Yeah, it's going to be easier to see on the broadcast, though.
That's right.
I bet you, see, the tricky part is there's a local broadcast here. It's Adam Amin and Jim Miller.
They're not going to point it out.
They're not pointing it
out.
No,
it's totally true.
They're not pointing out turf monster moments unless it is like a blatantly obvious thing. They're not going to talk about Eric Clapton and the concert and Cairo Santos's comments. So you're going to have to see like guys slip, guys throw their arms up in the air, you know.
Right, obvious things
like
that.
Like holders like... brushing off the field or something. You know what I mean? Like weird situations. That one's going to be very, very difficult.
All right. 1.5?
Sure.
Just to give it a little something.
Sure.
Something.
Little bit of, 1.5.
Okay.
I hope to come out of this game with health for me and the Bears, but some sort of optimism for some element of the team. You know, just like, oh, the run defense isn't going to be as bad as I think it could be. Or, Hub is right about these blocking tight ends. Mm-hmm. Maybe the running offense is going to be better than I think because they do have a lot of guys out there that can block people. And it's not that I think the rushing offense is going to be bad, to be clear.
But I think the offensive line is not proven as a run-blocking entity. But Hub said they got a lot of blocking tight ends that they can put out there that'll help it along. Like, I just – what can this – all the reporters are talking about their secondary. Secondary is crazy young, starting two rookies and Kendall Vildor and Eddie Jackson. Like, I would love to come out of this game just feeling like there is a reason to believe that some facet of the Bears – rush offense, rush defense, pass defense could be above average. Mm. Because right now, you couldn't say that any of those four elements you would expect to be above average this year.
I'd put
right?
my money on the rush offense in this scenario. I think their running game is going to be pretty decent to above average.
I hope you're right, and I agree that that is like the most likely, but a couple of things scare me with that, man. They don't have a solidified five in their offensive line, and if they're bad, they're going to be behind a lot. Like, the teams that are really run-first teams
have the threat of pass
and are pretty good. Like, the Titans are good. The Eagles were not atrocious. You know, like, you have to have...
I went with threat of pass because from some Green Bay conversations we've been talking about.
There's that, too.
Right, but you're talking about, like, really solid, strong offensive lines that execute it.
Yeah, the Colts are good. You know, like, you need to... The Niners are good.
I think there is, though, Danny, like, a theory...
The Ravens, good.
There is a theory, though, that if you teach NFL caliber offensive linemen, just like replacement level NFL offensive linemen, fire off the ball and just do this and go for it. And you execute it well and you execute it cleanly. And you have replacement level running backs who are working in tandem and know what they're doing and the scheme makes sense, that you can achieve it simply by doing it well and doing it unified. Because so few teams actually do that. So many teams really just want the run as a threat that sets up the pass, like Buffalo uses it. Or like the Chiefs use it, and they use it well, obviously. But you know what I mean? Like this system firing off in unity, well-coached, with conviction, can get it done with a lower level of elite offensive line talent.
I think that's fine. I think that is reasonable. I'm not countering any of that. There's still just like some ifs there. Like, well coached.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll see.
Especially early.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's like none of that is proven. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm with you guys. I think that is their best chance. Rush offense, rush defense, pass defense. What's their best chance to be top half of the league? I'm with you. It's rush offense. But that is not a certainty. Like, it is absolutely not a certainty based on production by players employed by the Chicago Bears.
I also actually think that, assuming Kyler Gordon's healthy, Jalen Johnson is fine, their pass defense has a chance to be pretty above average also.
Well, but we're not going to see that in this game at all.
But yeah, we were talking about this specific game. We're going to come out of one thing feeling well. That's why I didn't. Otherwise, if we were saying overall, I'd say the pass defense. Right. But for this game, the best chance is on the rush offense.
Yeah.
I think maybe we can see how Brisker and Eddie Jackson function a little bit together tomorrow.
Yeah.
That'll be nice to zoom out and see that at all. Just some nice functionality for Justin Fields would be good to see. Basics.
Bernstein, call the play. Snap the ball. Anything else that happens is gravy.
Break the huddle.
Yeah. Go Bears. The Roquan Smith situation, I'm sure, will be talked about on some level on the broadcast, though the report today is certainly messy. But as soon as we're back, going to give you a chance to win something that reads pretty cool, like an experience to meet some huge name Bears and sports stars. It's coming up. Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Are you guys grinding or are you guys having fun?
Afternoons on the Score.
Roquan Smith, you know, came off a PUP. He was cleared by our medical staff as healthy, and he did not practice. And the reason why for that is you have to ask him. So we expect all of our healthy players to practice, and that was his decision. And like I said, you have to ask him. I have not talked to him about it, so I have no further comment on that situation.
That's Matt Eberflus on Roquan Smith, and the weird story took another bizarre turn today. But right now, be the sixth caller to the Score contest line, 312-540-0670.
312-540-0670.
Yeah, that's my bad. Total brain fart. I was just conflating it with the actual call-in number. Win two VIP tickets to the FanDuel Fan Fest, the ultimate sports and music experience coming to Chicago September 10th at Guaranteed Rate Field. Hang out with your local sports heroes like Brian Urlacher, Devin Hester, Charles Tillman, and others, or stay for the live performance by Wiz Khalifa and Alesso. You can even just place bets and chill at the FanDuel Sports Bar and Lounge. It all goes down Saturday, September 10th at Guaranteed Rate Field. VIP tickets are on sale now. For more info, including how you can attend for free, visit FanDuel.com/FanFest. So there you go.
Big development with the Roquan Smith hold-in. There's other hold-ins still going, by the way, right? Deontay Johnson and the Steelers. I think he's still holding in.
Yeah, Derwin James.
And the Chargers.
And the Chargers.
Kareem Hunt wants to be traded, but he's holding in. With so, Cleveland.
So the hold in is new in the CBA, which is basically I'm mad at my contract, but I don't want to be a bad teammate, so I want to be there for the meetings.
And the team welcoming you in saying, let's work on this together. We understand where you are. Let's be partners here.
Yeah. But Roquan handled this in an interesting way, not just with the statement, not just with having no agent, but guys, like it's a late time for a trade request. Holden, totally normal, but announcing a trade request at this point, that's normally an off-season move.
Mm.
You know, so he was a little late to the timeline with that.
And a little bit desperate.
Yeah, very emotional with the statement. But all of that is like within the realm of normalcy, I would say, though not having an agent certainly complicates it. Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk has a league source saying that someone purporting to represent Roquan Smith has been calling other teams in order to gauge potential trade interest, which is a problem because this person is not an NFLPA certified agent, so he can't represent Smith. And Roquan has not received permission to seek a trade, so this is basically player-initiated tampering.
Hello, my name is Boquan Blith. I am not the agent. I'm just a friend of Roquan Smith.
I was curious if you'd be interested in signing Roquan Smith to a $100 million-plus contract and trading a couple of first-round picks for the privilege to do so.
Have you seen my tape? I mean, excuse me, Roquan's tape from training camp.
Dial tone. So this strikes me as leaked by the Bears. I do not know that to be true.
But it certainly does benefit the Bears.
It benefits the Bears to make Roquan Smith seem insubordinate and desperate and reckless.
And incompetent.
And if this is happening and other teams are engaging, tampering does happen. Like, there are punishments for it.
For the other team. Like, if the team engages in this conversation, even if
Miami Roquan's, and Tom Brady.
Yeah, if Roquan's party is the one that calls, if the other team does engage and start running with it, then they're the ones in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. So there is, it's not clear, according to Florio's reporting, what type of punishment could come Roquan's way. So maybe he doesn't care. But I think what is happening here, just call it a hunch, media savvy, whatever. If Schefter is going on the radio saying, I found out what the Bears offered Roquan Smith and I took it to other teams and they said, wow, what a great deal. Who does that benefit? The Bears. And now Mike Florio is saying, hey, a league source told me that someone claiming to be Roquan Smith's agent is calling around trying to see if we're interested in a trade. That's not allowed. Yeah. Who does that who does that benefit? The Bears. This is the cat and mouse game of PR. Roquan Smith has his camp and Ian Rappaport. Now the Bears are playing the game.
Yeah.
They took him off the PUP list, and now here are stories being leaked to big-time NFL insiders that don't make Roquan Smith look good and make the Bears look pretty good.
Yeah, Adam Schefter had said he ran the numbers that were offered to Roquan by other teams, and the other teams are like, quote, wow, in their minds they feel like it's fair, unquote, from Schefter.
That's a really nice headline for the Bears. And by the way, I'm not saying they're wrong. Just this is how it works. And so why I still think like this, but that the fact that Roquan has someone calling, we've been making the Falcons joke all the time because Ryan Pace is there and he's bringing in other ex-Bears. Like, let's say he's like Roquan Smith's buddy is calling the Falcons.
Yeah.
Man, that's going to piss off Ryan Poles. Like, that's just dirty pool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait a minute, man. You're under contract for this year. And by the way, we could put the franchise tag on you next year.
Yeah, they got him. They do have
him. So, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, okay, you're holding out. Fine.
Holding in.
You're holding in. You want a little bit more money. Fine.
We get it.
That's how the game is played.
Let's talk.
But having your uncle, you know, or your neighbor or your turtle call the Falcons.
It was John Barron doing it on
like,
behalf.
Like that's not what is supposed to happen.
No.
Roquan Smith needs an agent, man. He needs an agent. I'm sorry. Like Lamar Jackson's doing this without an agent. He's showing up for camp. He's practicing. You know, like now, and I still think it's crazy, reckless, and risky for Lamar Jackson to do it without an agent for a running quarterback who's won an MVP trying to get a couple $100 million. I think that's crazy, but at least it's not a circus.
No, an interesting point that Adam Hogue made when he was on with us a little more than an hour ago about how the day Ryan Poles addressed the media, and I think we all agree, did pretty well and went out there and spoke. And this was after the Bears had publicly said, we will have no comment, respectfully, on the Roquan Smith situation. Then, oh, look, there's Poles. The point Hogue made was that Trace Armstrong, the agent for Ryan Poles, also the agent for Matt Eberflus, was in camp that day. And Trace Armstrong, also Matt Nagy's agent, and had seen what had happened to Nagy in some really bad PR times when he did talk and when he didn't talk. And Poles came out and made his statement and seemed like a veteran, at least in that moment. And there haven't been a lot of moments where Ryan Poles has seemed like a veteran. I talked to somebody last week who said Ryan Poles is in over his head, which is pretty natural to have for a rookie, a general manager trying to figure all this stuff out. But in that moment that day, thought Ryan Poles came out pretty well.
I did too. I thought that it was a smart, savvy thing to address it. The goodwill didn't last very long, though, because the next day, Matt Eberflus said what he said and was like, and you're going to have to talk, you know, you got to ask Roquan why he's not out here. And then the Bears were like, but we're not going to make Roquan available for questions. So, you know, the transparency only went so far.
Right, and they're putting it on him. The onus is on him. You'll have to ask the player why he's not practicing.
Well, right, but I mean, they could make him available to do interviews without him practicing. They're choosing not to. Mm. And I get why they're choosing not to. Like, no, we're not going to give you the pulpit to bash us in sound bites and lead the local news and all of that stuff and be fodder for sports radio with a Bears logo behind you when you're not practicing. Like I get why they're doing it that way, but hey, Matt Eberflus should probably say you should ask Roquan if they're not going to let them ask Roquan. You know, transparency only goes so far.
That's a conundrum.
It's a conundrum. Yeah, it's going to be tricky. But so the Bears' best player is making this really ugly. He is. Mm-hmm. You can't have someone who's not an agent calling NFL teams to try to work out a trade when the Bears haven't given you the right to seek a trade. You are in violation of your contract. It's not allowed. Cannot happen. So Roquan Smith is he's creating a lot of drama here.
One other little NFL nugget, and I guess it's not little, but There was a lot of thought about whether Deshaun Watson would even end up playing in this preseason game tonight, listed as the starter. Roger Goodell had come out and said everything that he did earlier in the week about them still wanting a 17-game suspension as they appeal it. And Deshaun's going to play. But this he gave to the Cleveland media before he got on the Browns team bus today. He gave this quote, and let me ask you if it strikes you as a change in tone. Quote, "I'm truly sorry to all the women that I've impacted in this situation. There are decisions that I made in my life that put me in this position I would definitely like to have back," unquote. That strikes me as someplace he hasn't gone specifically, and I don't know whether that is because he's feeling like he could be in more trouble than he originally thought, or whether he's trying to massage it a little. It's a little bit further than he's
gone.
Well,
I read the 16-page thing from Judge Robinson, and she made a point of saying that part of her decision on discipline was that he had shown a lack of remorse. Mm. Like, when he showed up to training camp, he said he didn't believe he had did anything wrong.
Right. So this is now.
So like, when that is in the ruling, and there's a 6-game suspension, and the public opinion, including Roger Goodell's opinion, is very clearly, yo, 6 games, not enough, man. That is crisis management, right? Like, that is like, ooh, I should have played this differently. Like, I should have been more apologetic here because my lack of contrition is factoring in to the punishment that I got and I am going to continue to get. So is that a change in tone? Absolutely. It's hard to believe it's genuine, though, and not coming from a place of self-interest. Because of
the timing of it and how it's so late.
Well, yeah, and she just noted it. She said that, like, you've shown no remorse for any of this. Like, saying you believe you did nothing wrong when dozens of women have had complaints against you, you've done something wrong.
I would say it's absolutely crisis management. There was a tweet from Andrew Brandt today that said, quote, "From Watson's side, avoiding a year suspension is financially imperative. If he's suspended a year, his contract tolls 2022 becomes 2023 and so on. So he would keep his $45 million bonus, but only make $1 million this year. So $46 million in 1 year becomes over 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of money at stake, and I don't believe that he just had his epiphany now. You know, he's had a lot of opportunities to show contrition. He's doing it now for a reason. We'll answer your questions for one last thing. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on the score.
Just one more thing, please.
I thought you had a clock to punch.
I do. I'm leaving right now.
It's time for One Last Thing.
So let me ask you a question.
I just want to ask you.
Is there some question?
One question.
I mean, is that really a question? This has been a good session.
Ask any question.
I just want to ask you.
For anyone on the
one
show.
Question.
Come on, man. It's a stupid question.
Why is it a stupid question?
Can anybody else answer that?
I just want to ask you. One question.
Anybody? Yeah, man. That's a stupid question.
I just want to ask you. One question. question.
It's a stupid question. You should be equipped to answer it.
All right.
I did
all
answer
right.
I just want to ask you one question.
That's a stupid question.
We got the answer.
And you should be able to handle a stupid question.
I did.
I just want to ask you.
But that's a great question.
One question.
One last thing with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
You text them and Twitch them in. Shane gathers them and asks them. We answer. What do we got, Shane?
From Twitch, from Normal Tom, who's the biggest celebrity you've met in person and chatted with that we don't already know about from the show?
Oh, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
That is a good question.
Because I've talked about Vedder. God, I don't know.
I did an event at the Negro Leagues Museum where I was on a panel that I was kind of leading, and Hank Aaron was on the panel. That was pretty insane.
That is insane.
It was Tim Raines. You know who was there? Jonah Carey.
Oh, yeah.
Jonah Carey did the Tim Raines part, and Carrington and I got to talk to Dave Winfield and Hank Aaron.
Was it a pitch talk thing was a part of that?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, got to chat like a little bit. I regret terribly not having like a picture of like just us.
Do you regret terribly being in the same room as Jonah Carey?
Yeah, man.
Hindsight being 2020.
Hindsight.
Yeah.
You didn't know.
Didn't know it at the time. But yeah, that. So, I mean, that's a pretty big name. I've talked to Jim Brown before. That was pretty cool.
It's pretty strong.
I think I've talked about, maybe not specifically on this show, but I met Hayley Williams once. That was amazing. Maybe the best moment of my life. But I've talked about that on air before. I'm not kidding. Danny, it was amazing.
I believe you.
But I also had the chance to interview Michael Irvin at Bears Camp in like 2015.
He's a good interview.
He was great.
For Sporting News Radio, they sent me to the Madden Football 20th anniversary at the Rose Bowl. So that day I talked to Ronnie Lott and Eric Dickerson and Warren Sapp and like a whole bunch of dudes on the field at the Rose Bowl. That was pretty good.
That's fun.
I talk about smoking weed with Casey Musgraves any chance I get. So
that's
not
strong.
That. Probably Jeremy Piven. Like Jeremy Piven, I know there were some things about him getting canceled or whatever, but I think Jeremy Piven.
Didn't you ran him down on Michigan Avenue, right?
Yeah. When I was at GN, that was a good one. From the 847, Speegs, would your family say the ball to the face, or the seal dancing for a meatball at the Bulls meatball sandwich at the Bulls game is more embarrassing?
That one, definitely.
The seal.
begging for a free meatball sandwich, like a seal at the Bulls game.
Back to Twitch from Queens Ben, which, by the way, I think that's Ben. He is out in Queens.
Oh, that makes sense.
Do you guys see yourself employed by the Score in the next 10 years?
I'd say,
fun one.
I mean,
I hope so.
I'd say the odds are against it.
Yeah, me too. Don't think I'll be here in 10 years.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the odds were against Danny.
No, well, that too.
Yeah. 10 years a long
that'll
time.
That'll be his choice. Mine will not be my choice.
No.
I'll be on my seventh full-time partner by then.
Ninth?
I'd
be totally fine with it. You know what I mean? Like, all I've ever wanted to do is host afternoons in Chicago sports radio, but just the industry changes so much.
A lot of people upset, Studs, you didn't mention the time that you talked to Ashton Kutcher as, you know, a celebrity.
How about that?
Ashton Kutcher. I'm not sure who that is.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You know about Mila Kunis, though.
I say I'm gone when Mitch leaves. I'll wait it out as long as Mitch is here.
Yeah.
About Parth.
Yeah. Well, I love Ryan, but when Mitch is gone, I'm gone.
Oh, wow.
Put it that way.
That's bold. He's much closer to retirement than you are.
Package deal.
Yeah. I'll just go somewhere else.
Yeah. You know, I know you're not going to retire.
I'm young enough.
Any other questions?
Close it down, Studs.
All right. That's it, I guess.
All right.
All right. Play the music.
Go ahead and hit the close bed there, Studs.
That's the one.
Someone on Twitch said, how are you going to handle NFL season with a toddler and a newborn?
Good luck, Steph.
Yeah, by watching football. Little bit more screen time for the boys is all that's going to mean.
Next baseball movie I should show my boy, guys, after Field of Dreams, he's seen The Sandlot. This is me. He's into Shoeless Joe Jackson now. I want to show him Eight Men Out, but I think that's really serious and kind of boring and probably not even age appropriate.
Major League.
I love The Rookie. I think Dennis Quaid is awesome in The Rookie.
Yeah.
That might be my favorite baseball movie.
I don't think I've ever watched The Rookie.
So good. Killer soundtrack, too. You would love the soundtrack. Yeah.
So, Major League, probably too adult for him.
Major League, I mean, I will show my kids inappropriate, like,
comedies at an inappropriate age.
Yeah.
Personally, because it was such a fun thing for me and my dad and having a much older brother. But if you're not going to do that, and he's a Cubs guy, Rookie of the Year is the obvious
one.
Henry Rowan Gardner's, yeah. And also Little Big League, he'd get a kick out of. One.
Yeah, probably both of those. And he likes to pitch right now. So I think Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year is a no-doubter.
I will tell you, Speaks, in the rookie, Dennis Quaid brings his son everywhere with him, to the tryouts, to high school baseball practice, to everything.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think For the Love of the Game is a good one, too.
I think that movie sucks.
Do you really?
I hate For the Love of the Game. Yeah.
I do not hate For the Love of the Game. I don't like it as much as most others, but I don't hate it. But
Shane hates a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's not really breaking news. No. We've been doing the show since February of 2021. We know there's not a lot of things I enjoy.
He gets a little shangry. Well, have a good weekend, everyone. Thank you to Connor O'Donnell for the Twitch chat and video stream. Our guests today were Adam Hoag and Chip Carey, who said that he thought that the hologram of Harry was pretty cool, but that Harry is eating well in heaven or in hell.
Or in hell. Sometimes he's not sure whether Grandpa's looking down or looking up.
Which was an amazing line. Thank you to Connor O'Donnell, Twitch chat and video stream. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Adam Stanzinski in for the great Chris Tannehill. Thank you, sir. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
Was him. It's called a hologram.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.